The time is now. I don't know if everybody knows this, but I know I got a lot of people that get annoyed that I talk pro wrestling, right? I get a lot of people that's like, why are you always talking pro wrestling? Like, grow the fuck up. What are you going to do? Something else. Well, today is the day we doing something else, baby. Sports, culture, entertainment, your boy talking all of that today. And I'm not alone. Of course, I'm not alone. I got my alpha, my omega, my brethren with me. Mr. Mike Knox, how you doing today, brother?
It's weird. You're on like my other side, you know? Good to be here, man.
This is weird. I'm hosting. This is weird.
We're bigger than wrestling, people. We're bigger than wrestling.
So today, what we talking about, of course, we talking about the NFL is back tonight. We're going to talk about the Bills versus the Rams. We're going to talk about She-Hulk. You like it so far or don't you like it? I mean, there was a lot of people talking a lot of trash under the first couple of episodes, but now they seem to be coming around. Mike, I think you're one of those people. Then we're talking about Versus. Versus has been on a hiatus. We don't know what the hell is going on with Versus anymore. And Swizz and Timbaland are suing Trilla for like 28 mil. So the whole hip-hop industry is not fooling with them right now. And then what I think is the best documentary on TV, probably the best documentary that you've seen lately as far as music goes, and we're going to give this man his flowers because he doesn't get it enough. Irv Gotti is a genius when it comes to hip-hop, right? And he never gets his shine because of Murder, Inc. and what 50 did to them. So he never gets that shine, right? So we're gonna review that a little bit and give him his flowers. And then what I really wanted to do this show for, To the Empire! One of the best shows that's not even talked about because Power was on, or they couldn't get past the Jamal thing. But you look past that, you put your homophobia aside, and it's a really, really good show. And I just want to dissect the first season, episodes 1 through 6. But right now, we're going to pop into this NFL. So we're looking at it right now as it stands, right? So we got a lot of key matchups. We're going to get to the Bills and the Rams before the show ends. But looking at this schedule, right? So you see the 1 o'clock games, and the best, I don't want to say the best, but probably the most competitive game we're looking at right now is Steelers and the Bengals, right? Steelers and the Bengals, two defensive teams, but the Bengals got that offense. The Bengals got that offense. And you got that boy Joe Burrow. I mean, come on. He's definitely MVP candidate. Can they get back to the bowl again?
Mr. Silent, are you giving Joe Burrow some credit?
You know I hate to do that, but I can't. The boy's good. God damn it, the boy good. That boy good. You know, so I mean, he got a couple of dice rolls his way in the playoffs, in my opinion. But hey, neither here nor there. But in this game, who you got, Bengals or the Steelers?
Well, as I said last night on BDSR Networks, right here on Unpopular View Entertainment as well, I got the Bengals in this game, but I'll be honest with you, this is a game I would not touch because it is a AFC North division of matchup, and it's week one in the NFL. And what's that spread again, Dice Man? Was it 2.5? I think they got the Bengals. It's 2.5. I'm not sure if I'm laying that dog. I will take the Bengals outright to win this game. I got to go off of last year's stuff. We're going off of rosters. Hell, I'm an Eagle fan. We're going to do anything. We're going to keep it a bean. All right, what the kids say. Keep it a buck. I'm going to keep it a buck 20. Okay? Not across
the face. No, that's not. So I'm looking at the money line, right?
Yeah, what's the money line?
The money line is six and a half.
That's what I thought it was. Oh, so you said that last night when you tuned in. It's 6 in Vegas. It's 6.5. It's 6. So that's 7? I'm definitely not touching it. So if I'm touching that, I'm taking Pittsburgh. Bengals win outright, but they're not covering 7 points against Pittsburgh. I said their defense.
But do you see this last meeting? Do you see this last meeting? They got their ass whooped 10-41.
They did. But at that point, the Steelers had already packed up. I believe, what week was that? It's like week 11.
That was November 27th. That was back half of the season. That was the season. Probably about week 12, I believe.
Week 12, somewhere in there. So, yeah, the cats had already packed up for the season. Raplesburg was on his way out to go rape somebody else, so we don't know. we just don't know.
So, I mean, I want to say that I would take that seven.
You taking that seven?
I'm taking the seven. I'm taking a seven just because
the Steelers, this thing out. Ooh, that's dangerous.
Just because the Steelers offense is probably gonna be, they can't lean on Najee all game.
No,
Oh yeah, Queen Elizabeth, rest in peace. God save the Queen. That's the best 1 o'clock game. You know what? Let's get into that.
I'm a little biased when you say that's the best 1 o'clock game. No offense.
I mean, come on. We already know what y'all going to do to the Lions. I mean, come on. It's the Lions.
That's all.
Jesus.
I'm looking for the Boat Gang and Don't Hang song. It's, all I have is the San Diego Superchargers. They haven't made a Los Angeles song yet.
We never made one. But looking at y'all point spread, it's five.
Yeah.
Five and a half. I'm sorry. So, are you taking that bet?
I got the Eagles as my Super Bowl pick. Okay.
Now, are you thinking with your heart, or do you really honestly believe that you guys have?
I'm thinking based off a roster, I think we're that good. I just think it's all about Jalen Hurts. So if Hurts can play, Mark Sanchez led the Jets to the AFC Championship with 11 wins. So why can't?
But that team was that defense was stacked.
It was
that defense was,
and I'm believing in our defense being that stacked. I'm going off of paper, you know, not easy riders. You know what I'm saying? Whatever it is that y'all use, raw rags. You know what I'm saying? So on paper, I got the Birds. But that 5.5 week one, we always have a problem with Detroit week one. We struggled with them a couple years ago week one. So again, it's week one in the NFL. It's the most dangerous time to handicap. So I think the Eagles win the game outright. The six, you know what? I'm going to lay that six. You said it's 5.5. I'm going to lay that 5.5. Taking the Eagles. I'm scared of that. So that is, again, week one NFL. Come talk to me about the ones that are clearly ones I feel like we can clearly put our money on. There's not many, Dice.
It's not. And going into this 4 o'clock matchup, right, the New England Patriots versus Miami Dolphins. So the – what did he say? 2.5 spread in Delaware. It's
so it's three. It's always a half up.
Yeah.
In most cases, it's always a half up. Sometimes it's the same.
So it's three. So in Delaware, it's 3.5. Delaware is 3.5. But Vegas got 2.5. So we get the cushion.
You get the cushion. I'm taking both. I'm taking the Dolphins outright either way. 3.5.
Over 47 or under 47.
You know, I hate those. I hate those a lot.
They're so tricky, man.
I'm going to say under because I don't believe in New England's offense. If Belichick, like Anthony said, this is a Belichick team and people giving too much respect to Belichick, guess what? I've seen every empire fall. I'm that old. I've seen every empire fall.
Are you saying they're slowly decreasing and he's not going to get it back? I think the Patriot way is slowly deteriorating.
The Patriot way was Tom Brady. They couldn't – you win together, you cheat together, you split up, no more winning. Can't you?
I would agree. I would agree with that. I'm going to take Miami. And I'm probably thinking in Madden terms.
But honestly, I was kind of led there myself a little bit.
But I think the issue is Belichick is he's just a schemer. They will outcoach the Dolphins, but the Dolphins will just have too many players that are better than what the Patriots have. So, I can't take the over 47. I think it'll be somewhere in the range of like 17-24.
Okay.
Dolphins.
17-24. That's I went with the under two. I just don't see it.
And this other game I want to talk about is the Chiefs and the Cardinals, right? This is Super Bowl caliber-esque matchup. But remember, no DeAndre Hopkins. No DeAndre Hopkins for the Cardinals. So that boy was out there shooting up.
That boy was out there shooting.
Pentagon of salt. I don't know. That's what I used to, that's how I used for John Jones. Remember John Jones got caught? Actually, John Jones was caught with a pentagon of salt in his steroid test. This man, he's I think it was like some asthma medicine or something like that that he blamed it on.
Yeah,
you
he
just,
did.
You just hate him. So you just hate him.
I
say he's
I think he's deteriorating. He's deteriorating. God dang, that must be the word of the hour right now. Deteriorating. Listen, he lost his damn star on Madden. So they don't even believe in him no more. He lost his star on Madden. So they got this game at 6.5 favor of the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Chiefs are on the road, right? Chiefs are on the road.
Yeah, I believe the Chiefs are on the
road. Yeah. And that's bad. That's bad.
What's the spread?
6.5
for Arizona.
Or 6.5 for the Chiefs.
The Chiefs are favorite on the road against Arizona that much. That's a lot of faith in Andy Reid.
To give the Cardinals 6.5 points at home.
That's embarrassing. That's an embarrassing line.
You know what? That is like when the Chargers we had the soccer stadium. Mm-hmm. So even when we were at home, we were still away because every team had more fans than we did. And it was only like a 20,000 seat stadium. And we probably had like 10,000 fans in the crowd. And I was like, every game we were not favored at all. Unless it was somebody real sorry, like the Jaguars or the Jets or something. Like, even then they would only give us like 2.5. I think Pat Mahomes going to run all over these boys. I ain't going to lie to you. We're going to see just how good Patrick Mahomes is without Tyreek, and which we still know that boy good because he still got Kelsey. And he about to make Juju Smith-Schuster look like a stud.
Well, you heard what he said today, right? Sorry, fantasy football owners. Ain't no one's going to leave the team like we did last year. Everybody's going to get the ball. Every week is going to be something different, which means he's talking a lot of trash.
Mm.
All right, so just put that in perspective.
And then – my boys, my guys, the boat gang, or don't bang, versus the Raiders.
The Raiders. So
they got this game, 3.5. You know, we coming out for revenge because you see it, January 9th, last game of the regular season, probably game of the year nominee, top three of last year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a chess match. It was a chess match. If the Raiders won, they were going to face the Chiefs, in which everybody thought that they didn't want to face the Chiefs. I didn't think they were going to face the Chiefs. But if they lost, we were going to face the Bills, I believe. But if they tied, they were going to face neither one of them. I forgot who it was, but we would get the wild card and they was going to face the Bills, right? So we were fine with going to the Chiefs. We were fine. We had their number this year last year, and nobody could get off the field. Nobody could get off the field, and we just done some dumb shit knowing that all we have to do is just stop them. And we didn't have to stop. We just had to contain them. We just had to contain them, and we did some dumb shit, sent the all-out blitz. He threw that bitch over the top, got in the middle of the field, field goal. We should have won that game, but I'm biased. So I'm going to take the 3.5. Derek Carr, Devontae Adams, going to be a nasty, nasty matchup. And they still got Darren Waller. They still got Hunter Renfrow. But I just think that my core is better. I mean, we got Keenan Allen.
You know, I'm not the homer here, and you know I like the Raiders as they've been constructed. You know that. I've been a Carr fan. I believe in Derek Carr. I like Devontae Adams over there. The colors are amazing.
Mm.
Don't matter. Two teams have a three-game winning streak going into opening week one, and one of them is going to break this week. I'm taking the Chargers to win this game outright.
I think it'll be somewhere in the realm of a 28-24. I'm going with 28-24. I think they'll barely get the 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
Only because we always play them tough, and we're definitely going to be playing with a chip on our shoulders. We're going to be out with we're not going to have JC Jackson because we'll have him by week 3. But if they want to go over the top to Devontae, you go ahead and try Derwin Ding Dong Davis James if you want to. That boy is special. So then we're gonna go, we're gonna skip ahead and go to the Sunday night game. I wonder what's the theme? Is Carrie Underwood still doing the Sunday night theme?
We're gonna find out this week.
She better. Cowboys.
Waiting Buccaneers. All day for Sunday night.
I think they got the Bucks 2.5. This is dangerous. This is a dangerous game. Mm-hmm. This is a dangerous, dangerous game to be betting on. I'm not even gonna lie to you. I'm gonna take the Cowboys to squeak by.
I'm definitely taking the Cowboys not to just squeak by.
Only because of the defense. Only because of the defense. And this game will be controlled by Dak Prescott. It has to be. It has to be controlled by Dak Prescott. Because if not, you let Tom Brady control that game, you're in trouble.
Remember, this was last year's opening day for these two on Thursday Night Football. And Cowboys almost pulled it out with a better team Buccaneers had last year, and they have this year, in my opinion. I think Tampa Bay takes a step back. I think we're about to see the decline of Tom Brady now because of physicality. I just think mentally he's here. And I got to, as much as it pains me, the Cowgirls win this.
Both teams haven't had a huge overturn of rosters that would make you think that they still can't get to where they were last year or better than they were last year. But that Dallas defense it's been building every year. They are in prime position. And with the personal stuff that's going on with Brady, I think his mind going to be elsewhere. His mind better be elsewhere. But, hey, he might do some Brett Favre shit, you know, even though his wife is threatening to leave him. And, you know what I'm saying? He's going to take his anger out on the defense.
She out.
She left the villa. She left the villa. That's what they saying. So, hey, we'll see. And then Monday Night Football.
Just talk about it.
Seahawks. Russell Wilson goes to Seattle. He's going to be against the 12th man. Can we call him the 12th man anymore?
Why wouldn't they be?
Because, I mean, were they the 12th men when they had the Sean Alexander's spring blue jerseys?
No, I think the 12th man came because of the stadium's noise, because how the stadium's been constructed. That's what I saw in the expose on ESPN.
Yeah, but, so, I mean, they didn't get that. They weren't known as that. Like
only a college team had, though. That was like Texas University Longhorns were 12th men. So I didn't like that in the first place. But, you know.
They got the Bronx.
Broncos winning this game.
6.5.
Broncos winning their game.
Listen, they just have a completely better roster than the Seahawks right now. I don't know what the Seahawks doing right now, but they should have went and got Jimmy G. I don't think Drew Locke is going to do it for you. I don't think Geno Smith's going to do it for you, but great job, Geno Smith, getting a starting job.
Geno cheesesteaks.
Geno's been around for a while, and he ain't started too many games, but. What he got drafted by the Jets, right?
The Jets.
Jesus. Yeah, I'm taking it's over 44. I think it's somewhere in the realm of like, I don't want to give the Broncos 31 points, but I'm gonna say something like 27-10. So they will slightly be under.
I go to under as well.
44.
Unless both these teams are worse and better than we think they are.
Absolutely. Now we got football. You got a meal tonight? Do you have a go-to meal?
I already picked it up. Public subs, ultimate. I always got to tell them to make it the Philly way, because I always try to put like the mayo and then the meat. I'm like, no, mayo, cheese, then the meat. Don't put no. Come on.
I don't want the shit on top. I don't want the shit on top. Cheese, put all my top
mayos. Yeah, like what's wrong?
Yeah, put my shit on the bottom. I need all my shit on the bottom. So, you know what I'm saying? Like even the dogs, because it just makes
for a cleaner eat. Sunday, 1:00. Those birds,
wings. So what do you have as the game of the week? Or
game of the week today? Bills.
This is the game of the week. Bills, okay.
Rams. My upset. And my locks of the week, the Buffalo Bills circle the wagons. Lock it up.
I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to be biased. I'm going to say that the Chargers versus the Raiders will have game of the week. just based off of the excitement, just off the excitement that we had last year ending the season. So why not have that excitement starting the season? I mean, all eyes are going to be on Davante Adams and Derek Carr. They got this bromance right now that would make you think that he didn't even play with Aaron Rodgers. The way he Googled, like he getting googly eyes over Derek Carr, you would think that Aaron who? So I think Darren Waller takes a dip in production, but I think Hunter Renfrow will take an increase.
I think Hunter
because he's the speedster.
That's why I picked him up in fantasy. So I picked him up in fantasy.
So now going on to the next thing. She-Hulk.
Are we twerking?
That was
the talk of the week, right?
They were so mad. So mad about... I thought it was brilliant. I love the story of She-Hulk so far. I don't need everything Marvel to be so super serious, because not all of Marvel is super so serious. But we all know Deadpool is, you know, he's the one guy that him, Spider-Man say witty shit all the time. But for She-Hulk to come with this, I thought it was fine. We see another layer of Bruce Banner to start this off, right? And slowly Bruce Banner's been, he's been having the banter with the other Marvel characters, in which I'm fine with, but I know that you don't like this particular Bruce Banner. You don't like Smart Hulk.
I'm part of the majority it's not necessarily a slight on Smart Hulk. Right. I think like with anything, when somebody says like, oh, Jordan's the guy, they automatically think you just poop on LeBron. No, that's not what we're saying. I'm just saying I think Jordan's the guy. Right. So like nothing wrong with Smart Hulk. We just want to see the Hulk that the movies. I don't think all the movies failed, but most people think the movies failed. You know what I mean? That's the Hulk we want to see. The deadly, destructive, that guy Hulk. And I don't think they've done that. And I think a lot of fans are wanting that. From this, and we got this, and She-Hulk. Like, I know I can speak for myself. I was turned off. I didn't like the first couple of those episodes.
The first one, it was a little slow, but I was like, you know what? Most pilots of things are slow. It's very rare that they're super heavy hitting coming out the gate. And this is a show that's like 30 minutes allotted time, but it's really like 23 minutes.
23, 24.
It's
like, you try watching Grown-ish.
Oh my god, like I'm getting into it. I'm like, yeah, and they'd be like, watch out. What? I'm like, god damn, is it over with already?
Oh, 19 god minutes, 17 dang minutes. We're like, wow, that's TV now.
But the big thing that everybody is so upset about is Meg Thee Stallion being featured in this episode. And the thing that we know that Marvel likes to do some sort of pop culture reference to what's going on now, because times change. So it's not She-Hulk from the 70s and 80s where it's things that are relevant then. I'm pretty sure that if they had a She-Hulk back then, Mick Jagger would probably been on that shit too. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was the popular guy there. He probably would have been on that mother. You know what I'm saying? But
were they really crying and complaining and bitching them on because she was on the episode or because Hulk was twerking?
It was because Meg Thee Stallion was on there and because she was twerking. So right? Like,
Patrick twerked. Nobody had a problem with romantic call. Did you ever problem with romantic call? It's a love romantic call. I still get my dirty wine on. I mean, I don't even like Meg. I mean, hell, the girl lost her own song to Beyonce, for heaven's sakes, and Savage. So, nothing. Like, why? I mean, are you going to cry or complain when they call up Mike Knox and Zia Sign to be on, you know, The Mandalorian? Were y'all mad when Sasha Banks was on The Mandalorian? Oh, my bad. Y'all like Sasha Banks.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Come on. I mean, I actually thought it was real beef, bro. I thought it was like some real... This has been because she was on the episode. That's dumb.
Like, rest in peace, Queen. I would say that Meg Thee Stallion is as popular as Sasha Banks. I'm pretty sure she has almost double the Twitter followers that Sasha has. But Sasha has a good 5.9 mil last time I seen. So
I don't think Meg has that many. I'm going to check, though. I don't think Meg has that many. I think
Man, they got to be around the same number.
I just think
this is what they're mad at, though.
Everybody, listen. I saw it. I laughed.
How she pop her back? Hulk pop her back like that?
Because she got Hulk muscles, so she can flex. What they call them things? The little dead weight things they be using? Them deadbolt balls? What you call them? Them dumbbell bases? The joint is just amazing.
The thing that a lot of comic book fans don't realize, don't remember, or don't take in consideration. I don't know if you remember this, because I don't know how big of a comic book guy you are. I know we talk every now and then about comics, but you never strike me as a comic book guy, a heavy comic book guy. Mm-mm. But this is now trending because it was there in the comics. Jump roping naked. Why was She-Hulk jump roping naked? But they had no problem with this back then.
7.6 million.
7.6? Okay. 7. Not. Okay. I mean, so she's halfway. She's halfway to more, halfway to double than what Sasha has.
Yeah. So
I would still say she's just as popular.
You know, fans got to get what they want. And, you know,
I would still say she's just as popular. I don't understand the difference. How can you not get mad at this jump roping thing, but you get mad at this? This was comedic. This was great. It had nothing to do with the story. It was like a little sugar on the top.
Does this feel racist?
Do you think?
I mean, she's naked and that's trending, where she's jumping rope, and one there. See, this is the thing about, I think, guys, and my wife said this the other day, and I heard it, but I didn't respond to it, but I really took it into what she said, and that was these double standards we got, mm-hmm. right? When it comes to men and women, right? Where we want a woman to be strong, but not strong sexually, because it makes a man who's not sexually strong and aggressive feel inferior. Well, what I say that is, get your balls right and get your marbles. What do you say? You ain't got no marbles. Let her show her sexuality. So what? As long as she shows it with you, she ain't banging.
There's a saying that one of my old bosses that I used to work for, he put a sign up and it said, nobody can make you feel inferior but you. Nobody. So all these guys that are getting mad about that, it was funny. It was funny. Like, I don't understand. Like, what's another cameo in Marvel that it wasn't necessary, but people loved it?
My favorite scene is when my face is buried in my girl's boobies. The old lady
will look at him thighs. Megan Thee Stallion.
Hi, my name is Sita Superior. Thanks for coming to see me. Today, we are getting back to our roots. We are finally back to watching an anime.
From here on out, I call the shots.
Tell us what to do.
Win, you turkey!
Molly McGrath always knew what she wanted.
Hey, you want to coach football? Fine, you got it. At Central High.
Her team, the Wildcats.
Ready to play, coach.
Do you want to play football?
Yeah.
Don't wear yourselves out.
Good job.
Wildcats. Football had it coming.
I still can't hear you though. What the heck is going on? No, I don't hear you at all. You can hear me though. I'm going to pop you out and pop you back in. All right. That kind of little broke back is. How about now? Nope. You are not good. You can hear me, but I can't hear you. Ain't that a snippet? You got to leave and come all the way back. All right. So while we're here, guys, we're going to play another. Listen, guys, make sure you check us out again. Wildcats. We did a review on that. We're doing our tribute month. We're doing football movies. I chose Wildcat. Wouldn't it be something different? Everybody picks like Friday Night Lights and Remember the Titans and Any Given Sunday. Wanted to do something different, so I chose Wildcats. And I loved it. And Dice is back.
That was all me. All
right.
I pressed the button when I realized I couldn't talk.
Okay.
I forgot that I didn't.
Unmute yourself. Silly cow. Chicks are for kids.
Goddamn. Next, we're going to get into Versus, right? Because this is since the everything with COVID hit, we needed something to keep us indulged mm-hmm. while we're all in the house quarantining. Some was quarantining alone. You couldn't get no cutty. you couldn't get no cutty. Our guys that rap, they couldn't get to the studio. Everything was shut down. So Swiss and Timbaland decided to go against each other, saying who produced the hottest beats. It was one of the best things I've ever seen on YouTube as far as music goes. I mean, they was just and it was like a rap battle inside somebody's small ass house. Anybody mm-hmm. who was anybody was there. I mean, you had Busta, Young Guru, you had Nas, you had Cam there. It was a lot of people, and it was just chilling, shooting the shit, and just playing music. And this is what we had got the song, one of the songs on DMX's last album that featured J. Cole. We got that 2 years ago and didn't even know it. He had that stashed. Imagine having a stashed J. Cole verse on a DMX song, and you just decide not to use it for 2 years. Jesus. But going into Versus, Trilla has done them boys dirty. And now, as you look back, they had two versus events since they signed with Trilla, right? Two of them. And after that, Trilla didn't do anything. And Trilla's been skimming money off the top of Versus.
That's
and
the now, worst part.
And yeah, and I'm pretty sure they got a lot more subscriptions to Trilla. Even because they were shutting it down on Instagram, and a lot of the artists didn't know that it wasn't even on Instagram. So those last two didn't get a lot of promotion.
That makes sense when you're watching, especially this one. And they were like, yo, are we even, they were doing the numbers
mm-hmm.
and they kept seeing different numbers, and their entourages was telling them, nah, you got to go to Apple to see him. You got to go to Apple to see him.
Mm-hmm.
Cause remember their first Apple was the first, what would you want to call it? Backer of Versus yep. was Apple, and I just got to bring that back up. You know, he won that one too, DJ. And that's your boy.
Jada won. I'm not arguing this.
I know. I was about to pull your hair.
in which we need to go back and redo some of the verses and see where some of the artists went wrong. We've had about 20 to 25 verses. Listen, I believe.
Can I just name honorable mention for my top three of all time?
Go ahead.
Nelly and Luda
was a whole fire
vibe, yo.
And that was it. Could you imagine if they did that when they was actually on stage performing
at home and doing it right?
If they did that would have been crazier.
From their cribs, they did that. I gotta say, the godfather of them all has to be the godfather, Uncle Snoop versus DMX. Okay, that one just took it to a whole new level. And then I got to say, the one that made the world realize that Jadakiss has already been here. I'm going to use my cousin words. If Jada's been so damn good all these years, how come y'all never called him the greatest rapper of all time before? But Dipset versus the Locks.
But you go to the hood. A lot of niggas say, they will say Jadakiss is top five dead or alive. He's been living at moniker since 9-7.
Jay-Z said it best. The only one he would go up against Jada was the Broad Street Bully. In his prime, you know what I mean? Vinny Siegel. So that's the one I wish we'd have got, Siegel versus Jada. But Siegel ain't got enough tracks. You know what I'm saying?
Siegel don't have enough. He has enough tracks, but not like Jada got. Because people know Jada's got too. Hits. Jada's got hit features.
Yeah.
Jada's got it all. And when Jada crosses over and hits you on the joint he got with Mariah, what you going to do? The joint he got with Maya, what you going to do?
Well, he does, as soon as he does Honey at All. And he locks it. You know what I'm saying? Like, part of. I mean, damn.
We can't live off of, I can feel it in the air. We can't live off that forever.
I've been left that long. You at least could have got me that. You could at least got me the remix, John, with burning up. My heart is not burning up.
Well, I mean, he can't even. I mean, he can give us the 112. He can give us the 112.
I actually meant to say that one. That's his best.
Dance with me. Yeah, that was Freeway. Freeway was Freeway was burning up.
That's why I'm glad you brought it back to the 112 show. So it's over though. Are we not getting another verse? So we're not gonna get Usher. And Chris Brown, because the one we did on Pop Review, well, I whooped the other Chris's ass. Pills and automobiles? If you know what Pills and Automobiles is versus Oh My God, please comment below and let us know. Because that was a hard choice. So but it's over. We're not getting no verses no more. This is why.
I don't think so. I think that this is, and it sucks because there's, even though it's like, who else can we do for verses?
Yeah.
But there's still a lot. But you just gotta dig through the crates. We still ain't got no T.I. We still ain't got no Busta. We ain't got no Weezy. Did we get Ross? We didn't get Ross. No, we got Ross. I thought we got Ross and Two Chains.
Yeah, that did was.
We? Yeah, that was underwhelming.
I kept telling you that, why the hell is Two Chains in this? Y'all trying to tell me that he had a right to be there? Or was that Two Chains? No, was that Two Chains in like Future? Ew, Two Chains and Rick Ross. I think it was Rick Ross.
So season one is they put it. I didn't know there were seasons.
Yeah, I knew that one. I came across it a couple weeks ago.
We got Swiss and Tim, Swiss versus Tim, Boy Wonder versus Hit Boy, The Dream versus Sean Garrett, Neo versus Jonte Austin. That was a wash. Neo washed that boy.
Why would he? Who was that guy in the first place?
Jonte Austin.
Yeah, I don't know.
He wrote songs too. Yeah, he wrote that, songs too, but he ain't no songwriter like no damn right. Neo. We got Scott Storch versus five. Manny Fresh. That was pretty that dope. That was that pretty one. Dope. I don't even know who Ryan Tedder and
I didn't know Ryan Scott Storch, but in all credit to say this.
Scott Storch was cheating.
Yeah, just because you put a damn bing, bing.
That man said I produced just a little bit. Yeah. He said, Manny Fresh said, what'd you do? He said, I did the keys. He said, you did bing, 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 bing. Get the fuck out of here. Get the hell out of here. T-Pain versus Lil Jon was actually really good.
That was really good.
RZA versus DJ Premier. If you like that old school, that 90s grimy hip hop music, like that right there was a
I'm a Premier guy. I'm a RZA late to the party guy.
I'm not a Premier guy.
I gotta go back and watch it. I gotta go back. Premier to me at that time killed it. I love Premier. I love Premier, yo. He's a hell of a
player. And then one of the funniest ones, Teddy Riley versus Babyface.
I almost walked off.
Nigga!
Get your audio together.
Nigga! They sent my man the audio kit and everything. They said he didn't want to do it. He either couldn't figure it out or he just said, fuck it.
Teddy Riley said, I'm done.
And then Erykah Badu versus Jill Scott.
That was a great one.
That was good.
A great one.
And we just talked about Ludacris and Nelly. Bounty Killer versus Beanie Man. I couldn't stand through half of that shit because I couldn't understand it.
I don't do dance hall.
112 versus Jagged Edge was very underwhelming. Underwhelming.
First of all, I'm going to stop. Go ahead.
Kirk Franklin versus Fred Hammond. I'm going to tell you, I skipped Sunday service on that shit.
God forgive me, I thought they were going to light up.
Alicia Keys versus John Legend, one of the dopest ones. They in the same room back to back playing the keys. Listen, those two motherfuckers, I don't want to thumb wrestle. There's two motherfuckers I don't want to thumb wrestle at all. Brandy versus Monica, your girl got washed.
Didn't get washed. She got beat.
Brandy got washed.
She got beat. Okay.
She got took behind the old woodshed.
She got beat. All right,
and then we got Gladys Knight versus patty and them pies. This is what you want at Thanksgiving. Who cooked the better greens?
I'm gonna have to go with Philly's own and that one.
Pat, listen, she got them pies. She had everybody going crazy at Walmart for them damn pies. Dude, it wasn't even that patty, good. It was still missing some. You needed a little bit more nutmeg on that shit, Patty.
You want that plum cobbler from A Different World for Chipmunk. That's what you really want. Okay.
Jeezy versus Gucci Man, something we didn't even think that we was going to see.
Yeah, and it was actually good.
It was still disrespectful because that boy Gucci Man was ignorant. He was pointing at my ignorant. Man. Bam, like, yeah, he's sitting up here bragging about how his boy shot Jeezy's guy. Yeah. Like, man, the only reason Jeezy didn't do anything is out of respect for Swiss and Tim. That was it. E-40 versus Too Short, they didn't promote that like that, but I wasn't watching that shit.
And it was a West Coast battle, and that's fine.
Yeah. Ashanti versus Keisha Cole. Mm.
You know I love that one. Listen, people, I told you, my girl won that. I'm sorry, Ashanti. Keisha Cole squeaked it out and pulled it out at the end. And it wasn't just the song he always said, I only bring up once because none of y'all know it, okay, which is I've changed. It wasn't the one song yet.
The one I don't remember is, could they not find anybody to go against D'Angelo? Because he just had a concert. It was D'Angelo and friends.
They said nobody. See, that should have been John Legend to me.
D'Angelo.
I disagree. And I think it should have been Alicia Keys and Erykah Badu. I get why they put them together because of their talents. But the musical level of music to me, and I love R&B more than I love any genre. And well, that's a lot. I love hip hop and R&B more than anything else. But then R&B, I'm sorry. I thought. I'm just mad it's over. We're not going to get these no more. We were looking forward to these things. I had a ball. It's 12:30 in the morning and we're calling each other like, yo, are you watching this? Are Mario and Mario?
My man pulled out the fucking watermelon. It was killing that watermelon.
That man said, yo, I knew you wouldn't invite B2K, so I brought him for you. Like the last, yo, he got squashed.
The fact that my man, he gave the watermelon to a woman in a fan and she handed that shit right back. Like, get the fuck out of here. Take your fucking fruit and get going. You can get going. Raekwon versus Ghostface. Crazy.
They like a ball. That's my number four. They got
that was crazy.
First of all, they're two of my best. They're like my favorites. When I say best, they're like, if I gotta pick like my favorite rappers of all time, Ray and Ghost, they may be 9 and 10 or 10 collectively, but they're there. They're in my top 10. I love them.
So if you gotta choose one or the other, who are you taking?
Early years, I was taking Raekwon.
And then you realize Ghostface really got
later
this shit.
Years.
Ghostface really been spitting, yo. Ghostface has really been spitting for some time, man. When I started fucking with Ghostface, when that motherfucker started wearing the goddamn Wonder Woman bracelet, he started wearing the WCW Ric Flair draw way before Pastor Troy.
Yeah,
way before Pastor Troy.
And listen, even if Pastor Troy beat him to it, I'm not sure about the time frame. You can keep that one, but he wore it better.
It was around Supreme Clientele.
Before everybody started getting wrestling mini belts, you know this because we weren't even friends then. I had the WWE wrist belt, and I called it my Wonder Woman arm. Okay, look at my other logo. It's on my wrist in my logo. Because that was my joint, yo. My Wonder Woman arm, yo. I loved it. But
okay, I thought it was 98. Supreme Clientele was 2000.
Yeah.
I knew the
album cover. That was that Tommy Mottola. I think Patrick Troy had it first. I think Patrick Troy had it first.
And okay, and then we got for the old heads because they was getting mad. They weren't getting no shine.
Like why you call me out?
Or Earth, Wind & Fire versus the Isley Brothers. Hosted by Steve Harvey. That was right up that man alley, boy.
I didn't even watch that.
Up Steve alley. But Steve was talking too damn much. Too damn much. It was like they will play a song and then Steve Harvey going to tell you a story for 10 minutes. Boy, I tell you, you couldn't even go to the barbershop without hearing one of these boys right here. Boy, I'm telling you. Like, goddamn, Steve, shut the hell up and let these boys go. One of the most underrated.
Big Daddy Kane.
Redman versus Method Man.
That was a show. That was like D'Angelo's.
It was just a straight show.
They would do
Redman record, Method Man record,
yeah,
Red and Meth record, Redman, and it flowed. And this was, it was great, remember, this was the first show after God rest his soul to the legend Earl DMX Simmons.
Okay,
this was the first show after he died. And, you know, those two guys were really close with him being a part of that Hard Knock Life tour, which is, I think, the greatest tour in the history of hip hop music. I didn't go there, but I'm just saying, I've watched enough documentaries to know you was never going to find another tour like this.
Hip hop.
But you did have Rough Riders, and you did have Rough Riders and Rockefeller, and you did have Rockefeller G Unit, but they weren't bigger. They weren't bigger than the guys that they had on Hard Knock Life tour.
Oh, no, I wouldn't even say that would be second. Second would definitely be Up in Smoke.
Up in Smoke, yep. You know that would definitely be top five.
That's second one that could go against the Hard Knock. I think Hard Knock.
You had Jay.
Up in Smoke,
Red and Meth. No. Up in Smoke was Street West Coast. You had Dre. You had Dre, West Side Connection. Snoop, Eminem.
He had 50.
He had Exhibit. Exhibit,
yeah, the dog pound, but again, that was a West Coast thing, and you're right when you say that.
Then we got SWV versus Escape.
I told you that was gonna be a wash. I told you that was Escape killed them girls, Joe.
And then I can't believe you didn't have this in your tops, the rematch of Swiss and Timbaland.
You know why? Because we talked about this several times. We argue on air. And I'm going to bring it up on air. We have to be able to make fun of each other and take that punch. Them brothers said, nah, fuck that. Okay? Because Swiss was being ignorant. He took that man's chain off his neck, man. I'm sorry. Where I come from, you take another man's chain, you might as well take his woman. That's taking his dignity. And then he said, talking about, yeah, but I make the hits for the ladies. You cannot have an R&B guy go against a hip hop guy in a hip hop crowd. He's playing while he's playing Rough Riders. It's the dog is hard as hit him with the dog. Come on, you can't have DMX anywhere and now people are going to. He automatically wins. His voice alone automatically wins. Can somebody tell your cousin that we live on air? He's just sending me invites to the party. Be watching and what he's supposed to be watching and supporting what he's supposed to be supporting. He would know that.
And then we had Eve versus Trina. That was underwhelming only because Eve wasn't there.
Super late. They were across ponds.
Yeah.
They were 2 hours late, bro.
Oh, boy, that was straight color people time right there, boy. That was straight color people time.
That was Miami color people time. There's a difference.
I don't even know what time it was because you know Eve, she lives over there with her husband.
Yeah, a little
whack. Yeah,
so sorry. You know me. But I get it. She had been mistreated by her brother for so long, she just said, I'm never going back.
It was blame it on Stevie J. Stevie J had a sex tape. Blame it on Stevie J.
Well, Stevie J let a lot of women go bad. That's a damn shame.
Bow Wow versus Soulja Boy.
You know I love that one. Bow Wow ripped it. Y'all gonna get Bow Wow his flowers, show. I'm sorry.
That was ratchetness at its finest.
Mr. 106 in part. When he brought out the brat in him to do the freaking... I think she liked me. Oh, I think they liked me. It was over, dog.
He said, that man Bow Wow said, how many remixes you gonna do to the same song?
It was like four.
Yeah, he did the same. I was like, at that point, the crowd was done. It, Keep Sweat, Bobby Brown.
You know I love that. And I was going to say, that was my fifth. That was my fifth.
Boy, it was sweat all over coming through them silk shirts.
First of all, they had the big ass thrones up there. You know what I'm saying? And for what it's worth, I will always say this. Him who remains nameless cannot be named. So now Usher says he is, but no. The king of R&B will always be Bobby fucking Brown. There would be none of these other motherfuckers.
You would always take Bobby over the man who's in prison.
No, he doesn't count because I can't say his name. But they would like so. You know how to have like you know like we say there's goat eras.
Yeah,
I think there's R&B king eras. So There was no R&B king before Bobby started saying it. Same way there was no rap goat before LL started saying it. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. R. Kelly can't surpass, you know, like I said, you can't have Kobe without Mike. You know what I'm saying? There would be no R. Kelly to me if Bobby Brown then let the world say, oh, you can sing like that and thrust your hips like Elvis and talk, you know. What made Bobby was he was a hood with songs. Like, if you ever notice, when the hood love R&B cats, that's where the girls, that's even more girl love. The girls love you and the guys love you. It's a wrap.
You know what? I didn't even look at this, but I'm looking at the scorecard for these because I didn't know that it was on the Wikipedia, right?
Why don't you tell me Jada, about Jacob lost?
Jada 15-9-2. That was 15-9-2.
To Fab?
Yeah. DMX was 12-10-4.
That's what I had.
Ross, 11-10-4.
Oh, God damn, Rick, you suck.
This is where it gets crazy.
Rick sucks.
This is where it gets crazy. Brandy, 12-7-5.
I told you people thought, and listen, you know, I love Brandy as a person, as a singer, but she don't make good songs. Let's just keep it a bean. She does not make good songs. And Monica makes songs that you never heard, but you hear me go, damn, girl, can you say that again? So seriously, how many, you can put on a Monica song right now on random, you've never heard, I guarantee you'll go, damn, that girl can sing.
Yeah, I agree with that because I got a couple songs on my Spotify because I was like, damn, that song kind of dope.
You pop it up, that's the guest, you catch music, you don't listen to when you got it on random. You go, what's yeah. that?
Oh, they gave Ashanti, they gave Ashanti the dub is 12-10-3.
You lucky I got on shorts. I want y'all seeing my butt. Right. you gotta be pajobing me.
They gave, listen, it gets better, right? SWV got 13-11. Swiss versus Timberland in the rematch.
They're going off of the songs, not the people singing and performing.
Swiss versus Tim, the rematch. Timberland, 13-10-3. I told you.
We got 40 minutes left. Can we please talk about Empire and Murder, Inc.?
Yes, sir.
That
yes,
is sir. The pork wash.
Yes, sir. I just wanted one more that, you know, we gotta. Who the fuck is Lady? No. Who the fuck is? Okay.
It's who?
Never mind.
Okay.
Oh, the all time ratchet.
We got Ashanti one. I need to know that score.
Ashanti? Ashanti was 12-10-3.
Most people.
I just told you that. You was about to get up.
No, I thought that was. Okay, maybe that was it. All right, come on.
And then Fat Joe versus Ja Rule, they stopped doing a scorecard. Billboard got a lot of a flack from the fans, the audiences. So they stopped at the Locks and Dipset. They didn't do one. So from then on, they stopped doing it. They don't have it. When they stopped.
Their scores right now are absolutely ass.
That's okay. When they stopped it. They never gave one.
The same way I feel
they
about
never gave us one.
By the way, Thor 11 Thunder is ass. Great action. Ass of a storyline. Sorry. I wait all this time for it's Disney Plus Day. You know that, right? Just saying.
It is. I'm gonna watch it tonight. Switching gears now. Mm-hmm. Going into one of, I think, the best music documentaries that I've seen in a long time. The Murder, Inc. story. And to give this man flowers. By the way, this man, along with Tyler Perry, own BET at this point, as far as I'm concerned. They own BET. If every time I turn on BET, it's either something they got to do with Tyler Perry, or it's got to be an episode of Tales.
It's always Tyler Perry.
Every time. And that's all that gets promoted. And he says, let Gotti tell it. He's got a big lucrative deal for Tales to come to the big screen. If that's true, I'm really excited about that because Tales is one of the most underrated shows that nobody knows about. And then when I tell somebody, you got to watch this, they take episodic TV and they write a story to it, to your favorite iconic rap songs.
It's really...
when I explain it that way, they're like, for real? I'm like, yeah, think of CSI, but like, what would you do if Wu-Tang was the theme of CSI? They're like, damn, I'm gonna watch that shit. What you is this? You can watch on Amazon Prime.
You know how you hate when I bring up something so much you just won't watch it? That's how I felt about Tales, because we've talked about it for so many, and it wasn't nothing against you, it was just I don't like BET's product lately.
Right? I don't either.
And I did click in to watch this. And by watching this, I caught Tales for the first time. And it's like what, season 3, season 4, somewhere in there?
Season 3.
Okay. And I'm just like, this is really fucking good. You know what I mean? And this documentary, to get back into that, I mean, so much I learned about Irv Gotti. That I didn't think I know. And it's, here's the thing about hip hop. And sometimes you feel dumb when you go, you should have known that, right?
Yeah.
I was like, I never knew he was a producer. I just thought he was like Dame Dash in a sense. Like he just got the people and he orchestrated things to be orchestrated and move the pieces. So I had already admired him for that. And because I remember on Drink Champs 1 episode with him, I don't remember them ever bringing that up. So I didn't get to know that about him. But watching.
Oh, no. Remember, because he was saying they was asking about Mike Geronimo. And to this day, that nigga, he hates Mike Geronimo. He literally, every time his name is mentioned, and it's still fuck that nigga. Every time that man is mentioned. I couldn't bring myself to watch Mike Geronimo for 3 hours on Drink Champs. I'm like, I knew one song from Mike Geronimo. I couldn't even tell you what it is now. I don't even know if I remember the melody.
It's more of a Northeast, you know, famous person other than that, but Irv being a producer, being a dancer, being a DJ, and we have, and we're not getting no spoils away here, guys. We encourage you to go watch this thing because it's really, really good. If you like documentaries, am I saying that right? It's like elementary documentaries. Okay, I suggest, at least for me, for Mike Knox, Zia Salah, he already co-signed on it. I think this is, you know, you speak on it because you talked about anything you're going to leave out of this. Or why not? Because I just think it really is just that good of getting informative information from the horse's mouth.
I thought that if you don't know, right? If you don't know, Irv is responsible for three of the greatest rappers that we've ever had the privilege of listening to.
DMX.
And he bought us this iconic. One of the greatest magazine covers in the history of hip hop. This is, when you talk about Murder Inc., this is the original Murder Inc. If you don't know, if you're a hip hop fan and you don't know that this is the original Murder Inc., I'm not going to tell you to kill yourself, but you should probably do some bodily harm to yourself.
You'll do a couple of laps around the block. You know, you'll be all right. You fed anyway.
I mean, the way I've heard the story multiple times, but to hear it, and his perspective of how and why Murder Inc. was formed, and the reason why, I mean, we all know the reason they fell apart. Jay-Z and DMX just were Alpha and Omega, and they could never get on the same page. Ja Rule tells that story all the time. He was the only one that was in the studio with both of them, but them two were never in the studio with each other. And this what led to this is where you see the Hard Knock Life tour, and they are freestyling for like 40 minutes. Around a pool table, right? And back then, you come to see that DMX was, I don't know if it was actually a freestyle, but his freestyle he actually ended up using in a song for Flesh of My Flesh, Blood of My Blood. So is that a freestyle? Yeah, we don't know. But back then, it was anything that you wrote and memorized was a freestyle. I know that the premise of a freestyle is you come up that on the spot. But back then, in the 90s, it was anything that you can spit without reading from a piece of paper.
And but if you can know your worth, and you believe in knowing your worth and taking that risk and taking that chance, kind of coming of age stories, this is one of those. Because
that man bet on himself.
That boy told him, "Go fuck yourself, Gotti. I'm not fucking paying you that. The fuck?" He said, "I told him go." He said, "You're fucking. I'm not." And he believed in him. But to me, this is that whole Russell, Leo Coral, Leo, and those guys, they were all, and I don't know them. This is what I've seen in documentaries and hearing them. They were assholes. But sometimes when people get mad about people, you have to be an asshole to get what you want accomplished. It's not being like you don't love your family to get there. It's just you got a mission. You got these binders on, and this is what it is. When you already made it, you're not trying to hear someone else's coming of age story because you got to keep money out. Remember, I go back to a personal story. Tracy Murray, yo, let me get a little help, man. Listen, you know, that don't work this way. You know what I'm saying? The best thing he told me, he said, the best thing I learned about the NBA, you don't give your money away.
Right.
You don't give your money away. Like, so you keep it.
Like, giving Irv his flowers, when we talk about guys like Diddy and Dre, Jermaine Dupree, L.A. Reid, Lior, Irv Gotti's name never gets mentioned.
Mm-mm. Dame Dash gets forgotten too.
Dame Dash, I mean, they will acknowledge Dame Dash before they acknowledge Irv Gotti.
They do.
Which is pretty sad.
Is it the Coke? I'm sorry, I'm wrong word. Is it the Book of Sugar?
No, I don't think it's that. I think it's the fact that when we think about Murder, Inc., we think about the singing Ja Rule, and we think about what 50 did to them. Right? And
but they gonna clap back. They gonna clap back. They gonna clap back.
When they visit that part of the story, and you think about what 50 brought to the table and how he was so raw with the mixtapes. But every single time I hear the story, no matter what the documentary is, my Black Child always switching up his damn story. Black Child switches up his story every time when he tells a story about who flicked the lights off and he just started poking niggas with a knife. I swear to beans, he says something different every time I see him on a documentary. But we don't care about Black Child. We care about Irv Gotti. And at one point in time, Irv Gotti had 4 number one hits in a year within months of each other.
Look, they're not R&B charts, because he tells you, don't come talk to me about no R&B charts.
Oh, no. they was rap, they was hip hop. I mean, he had Ja Rule and Ashanti. Mm-hmm. He had Ja Rule and J-Lo. Mm-hmm. He had Ashanti. And then he had Ashanti and... No, he had Ashanti by herself. And then he had... Fat Joe and Ashanti. And this was before Ashanti like was really popping. And they was all number one hits within months of each other. We don't get to see that a lot with people. Like, if you disassociate Dame Dash name from Jay-Z, how many number ones do you think you're going to get?
I think you still get a lot. But Jay-Z hasn't had as many number one hits as people think he has.
Yeah, he's not. He's been top 5, but he hasn't been.
He's constantly there, but not number one. Hence why when you have the argument, which I know one day you'll have on your show, Weezy versus him. You know what I mean? If that could be a versus, he's Weezy has had hits after hits after hit, where Jay has just been the top 5. But DMX has been number one a lot of times.
If we get mixtape Weezy, and depending on the crowd. So if you get a crowd with a bunch of young ass people that still they know about mixtape Weezy, yeah, they get the scissor Weezy. It's an issue. But if you get guys in the mid 30s, 40s that know about how nasty Jay was in the late 90s and the early 2000s, it's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good one. But if you got time, people, you definitely got to watch this documentary. Even if you just want to watch it, let a couple episodes build up, because that's what I do with TV. I let a couple episodes build up, because if an episode is so good and I'm like, damn, I can't wait till next week. So now my dumb ass got to go back and watch from the start, because I love music documentaries so much and I love hip hop so much that these stories intrigue me. They inspire me. And if anybody in hip hop that's into hip hop, think about something like how you can keep that stride going. You look at Irv Gotti. Like, that's really, the man was facing the feds. 30 years. 30 years. That man was facing 30 years. And they beat the feds. And that man came back. He got a TV deal. He got a deal with Paramount. $300 million. To do movies and television. If that ain't winning, I don't know what it is. I'll be a sellout all day if you're going to give me $300 million. If you tell me if I sell out today, tomorrow, or 3 years from now, I'm going to get $300 million, God damn it, give me the Girl Scout cookies, popsicles, all that shit. I'm selling out. I do it. Now, for the reason I'm the reasons that we're here. What if I... My favorite shows of all of the times, and we're gonna talk about black shows. I don't even want to talk about just black shows. We got to stop doing that. This is a show for people who love drama, who love music. This is up your alley, and you probably missed it because you're not focused. You're focused on the wrong things. When it came out, there was discrepancy. What's better, Power or Empire? Right. And I'm not even going to lie to you. I chose Empire 100% all the way. I was not giving a damn. Even though 50 is one of my favorite guys. He's one of my favorite rappers of all the time. And I love everything that 50 does. One, I wasn't paying for no goddamn stars. Two, I just love music that much. And what Empire bought in its time around 2015, it was something that wasn't, it wasn't on TV. It wasn't, you didn't have a strong black cast like that, right? Like it was very rare. And if you did, it was a sitcom, right? It was a sitcom. We were known for being on Fox for sitcoms. That's a big deal. For anybody who was a part of the culture, that's a big deal. And I think that instead of them, I don't know why they were compared. I'm guessing because it's produced by
my very first episode of it. You know, I love watching live episodic television. Originally, I called it the Hip Hop Glee from the beginning because it was just they were singing. But damn, was I wrong?
I know what that is. I know what that is. Snitch, bitch. Snitching ass bitch. And if nobody knows the story of Empire, it's hip hop's first black family, right? First black company, first black owned company, and they're trying to go public, right? And we see Terrence Howard, who plays Lucius, one of the greatest characters in the history of television.
He is.
I know you say that. I definitely agree with you on that. And you watch a lot more TV than I do, as far as anything, dramas, action. You watch it all. So I would definitely take that, and I will raise you. He needs to be in the conversations of Denzel because he's been doing this for a long time. Now his movies don't always hit.
I think he gets typecast.
I think he's definitely typecast now. I don't know why, but I mean, shit, that beats me. But we see him, and we see that he's in the studio with his artist V. Bosman, and he's trying to push out the inspiration for her to hit her notes to make that song hit. And that man went to this is the first slither of this man can get dirty. If he needs to, that man went in that woman's ear and said, I need you to remember and go back to last year when you found your brother dead.
They said when they had you identify the body.
That's some ignorant shit. But you know, at that point, you don't think that he's grimy, though. It's Lucius Lyon. You don't think that he's grimy.
He's just trying to
get that emotion because it's one of the most beautiful songs in the history of Empire. And the her notes on it, just the feeling when the bass hits. Like, I listen to that song a lot. I listen to the Empire soundtrack a lot. A lot more than I'm actually proud of. But and then we see we're introduced to the spoiled brat in Hakeem, who wants to be on the level of a Drake, a J. Cole, a Big Sean, a Wale at that time. It's 2015, and those are the guys that are making the headways, right? And these are the guys that are the young culture is loving. and he's to go against these guys. And then we see Jamal, the vocalist, and we don't know, you know, that he's gay until halfway through the first episode and going deeper into the second episode. And did him being gay, did it affect the way that you watched Empire?
No. That's what we live in. That's what we're faced with. That's not, you know, I think the biggest problem with men is we're too homophobic and we're not left. We're understanding. The problem, honestly, with Black folks in general is that we've been raised in a Black church. And early in Black churches, all that stuff was frowned upon. So that's all we think we know. But we forget the biggest lesson we were taught from the beginning. The first song you ever learned in church was what? I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord, today. Right? Because God is love. So I didn't care. It's just, don't get me wrong, there's times I don't want to see it. But it didn't bother me. I didn't care that he was gay. It didn't bother me at all. He could sing his ass off.
Yeah. I mean, and we start to see, it, even I think it's just about the second episode. In the first episode, Cookie's home. Cookie's the mom. We don't even know why she's there, but it starts off, she's getting out of jail. We don't know who she is. And she meets her youngest for the first time since she's been out. And we can see, look at the level. It looks like he's disrespectful, right? The look that he gives her. Mm-hmm. And he asks, she was like, I'm just trying to, you know, I'm just trying to get to know you. He said, what, you want a medal, bitch?
Yeah.
What? How do you talk to your moms like that?
He quickly got that ass whooped with a broomstick.
He definitely got his ass whooped, and this was the result. Look at the eye. And Lucius says, well, I see you met your mama.
That's the first thing he says. The first thing he says. Whoop that ass, didn't you?
The first couple of episodes are some of the most prolific episodes to me as somebody who loves music and creates music. I just thought Jamal's, even though I'm not an R&B, I'm not a singer, I'm a rapper, but like Jamal's way of creating music and getting his inspiration, it is so iconic. The way Lucius tells him. He tells Lucius he don't need nothing from him. And he says, great speech, kid, as you do it in my house. And he now is asked out. He moves out of the apartment that Lucius pays for, is in a dirt cheap apartment. They don't have enough plugs for his equipment. And he walks the street and hears the community around him. He hears the pimps and the hoes. He hears the bottles breaking. He hears the sirens going. And he just walks the street and identifies what he sees. And next thing you know, he comes up with dollar bill, y'all.
Like, wasn't that keep your money?
Keep your money.
Yeah, that's what's playing now. Yep, okay.
And keep your money was so fire when I first heard it. I'm like, just walking the street, banging on the dumpster is what you got from that. And the words hit so powerful. I don't want it if you're gonna throw it up in my face. That's like asking your friend. We know we got friends that we ask money. We need a loan, right? And don't throw the shit in my face that I needed the loan from you. I don't want it then. We know what the agreement is between us. That's what it is. But his dad would constantly throw what he's done for his children in their faces.
No, Lucius, and we pitted his sons against each other like pit bulls.
Yes.
I'm going to groom one of you. Who's going to be bad enough? He pushed Jamal to be a better artist and then just kept making him because he was gay. Hated the word gay. We're talking about the character of Lucius Lyons. You got to talk about the he threw his son in the trash can because he was playing as a kid, as a gay. And that we've all seen nephews or cousins and whatever as kids. You know, we knew as a kid, I mean, he was gay. You know, it was just what it was. But he was so who he was, this character of Lucius Lyons, that he literally threw his son in the trash can. And his son wore his law. And then you got his oldest son, the smart one here, who hides guns for him as a kid, who always been there for him. You know, then he got his baby boy, who just said, "He said, well, you never work a day in your life. You have no idea what working is." You know, and that's the character. I think this show, and let's not forget Taraji P. Henson in here, who played the biggest role. to me through all this. Just amazing in what she did and what she brought to the table. This show is really, really good. It was one of the most popular shows on television for the first three seasons of the show. All right. And then as trouble started to fall, these guys, not the two major stars. This show is made because of Cookie and Lucius Lyons. Okay. Without them, this show is not who they are. But these young guys were supposed to be the up and coming musicians of this show. Yes, the great ends up doing what to his wife and things like that, getting to Chris Brown, right?
Mr. Actually, that was after Jesse.
After was so Jesse. I was just that paraphrasing was after it. Jesse. And then, but yeah. Jesse, the biggest embarrassment to blacks and gays around the world, you know what I mean? Set up a whole fake.
Allegedly, the man was not guilty. I am to the empire, Jesse. I'm still with you. The evidence is very incriminating, like but I am still with you. I am still with you, Jesse. But I mean, if you look at this cast, look at this cast. I mean, all of these characters on this screen.
Look at Boo Boo Kitty.
Fine ass Grace Byers, who is playing Anika. I was about to call her Honey Boo Boo Kitty.
I wish I had a teleprompter. They're like boom.
She, first of all, the fact that she can disguise her voice, because she's like British or something like that. I don't know if you know that she's like Australian or British. She has an accent.
Most of the most polished African American actors and actresses today are from the UK.
The first time I heard somebody like Andrew Lincoln, and he's British, playing.
What's his name now? You know, I'm bad with names. Stringer Bell from The Wire, who's like one of the most famous actors now of all time.
Idris Elba.
You didn't hear him. Yeah. He played a thug, smart thug from Baltimore. You had no clue. You watch All American right now, which is one of the most popular shows on CW. He's British. Okay. What's the guy who plays Finn in Star Wars?
The black guy.
He's British, who had all the backlash against him. You know, I'm just not good with names, so y'all know who I'm talking about. Finn 572427. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just they're taking over. They're really taking over.
So we do see that even though Lucius has dropped Cookie essentially for a younger, what he thinks is more beautiful. I mean, it's not a bad replacement.
Oh, it wasn't a bad replacement, but you didn't see this ass. This is a boo.
listen, Anika had ass too. Anika had ass too.
Anika definitely had ass.
We start to see that Cookie really was the driving force behind Lucius's music. It wasn't a saying that she had. She literally could bring out the best. She ends up managing Tiana and gives Tiana her biggest smash hit up to date with Hakeem featured. They become a couple, Hakeem. But then we see that Hakeem, for a whole year, has been busting off Naomi Campbell. Well, Camilla. But for a whole year, you kept Naomi Campbell hidden from your family? What? But that's because we found out that my guy has mommy issues. It's not no way I'm going to call a woman my mama and then proceed to smash her. That's disgusting. That's disgusting. So, I mean, we find out that later on in Empire that Camilla is really a dirty bitch. She's a dirty bitch.
Wow.
I don't know her personally. That's why I call her a bitch. So. But episodes 1 through 6 are getting into some of the best things. And we didn't even talk about the fact that this man killed his best friend. Well, one of his best friends, his childhood friend that he came into the business with. Because why? He tried to shake me down for $3 million. What you do? What would you do? You're supposed to pay the man. The cast, Malik Yoba, I was hooked knowing that Malik Yoba was back on Fox after like 20 years. You know New York Undercover. You know what I'm saying? Like New York Undercover was the shit. And we never got the rumored reboot of New York Undercover. And I'm really pissed about that. I was really pissed about that. But we got him back on Fox and we find out that between him and Andre, they are the henchmen. And yeah, they will do whatever it takes for Empire to be theirs. Not for the sense of protecting Lucius, because they are under the mindset that Lucius is going to die. He's got ALS, in which he's been diagnosed with. And then we find out later on that he was misdiagnosed. But he, Malik Yoba, tries to do things by the right, by the book, in which he sees a therapist or a counselor or whatever on his spare time. Mm-hmm. And we don't see until episode 3 that Andre is bipolar. And Lucius doesn't know. Cookie doesn't know. The only Nobody one that knows. Knows is his white wife, Rhonda, who's been mistreated by Lucius ever since she's been inducted to the family. Ever since she's married into the family, she's been treated like crap.
She's not in there. Okay.
She's not in there.
And they took her out of the picture because she was
white. They
the she whitewash. Was white. She was whitewashed.
Damn it. But we come to find out that Rhonda's not, she's not afraid to get a little dirty herself, but behind closed doors, them two some goddamn freaks.
I like it.
They some goddamn freaks.
I love it.
I mean, the fact that they would do anything, they would do anything to gain some power. Like, the fact that he pimps his wife out. He was about to pimp his wife out to a dude in a wheelchair that had ALS. Listen. And then they fit.
He like, pimped himself out. Lucius pimped him out. I had to go to the DA office to, you know, straighten out. So that, you know, Pop was a person of interest. So I had to go ahead and give it. He said, "What you call her? Yeah, do me like her. Call me her." Like
Deputy Mayor Alvarez. Yeah. She was cute too, little Mexicano. But I mean, this show, I can't say enough about. I will watch it 100 times out of 100 times. I mean, look at there's Rhonda. Look at her. Fine white woman. Like, that's a beautiful cast. And it only gets better. I mean, they bring in Derek Luke as the head of security, who we find out that Cookie keep batting her eyelashes at Derek. You know what I'm saying? We see Cuba Gooding Jr., who's a songwriter that
Rainbow Lucius, or something like that.
Puma. Who was Chris a songwriter Rock, that Chris Lucius couldn't stand. I mean, who? Wait, who?
Chris Rock's in this season.
Oh, yeah, we didn't even get to him yet. Yeah. We're about to get to him. But we got D. Ray Davis as a hitman. We got Tasha Smith as a crackhead cousin to Taraji. I mean, anytime you can get Tasha Smith and Vivica A. Fox as your sisters for a TV show, that's a pretty big deal. But I mean, Vivica wasn't popping as she used to be back in the mid-2000s. The mid-2000s. Two can play that game.
Yeah, that's what happened. You eat 50 Cent's ass.
Listen, ever since she ate that man's ass, when she fell off.
Ass, that's fine. I'm talking about eating ass. So that's all.
But next week, we're going to get into the back half of season one. This thing is going to move pretty quick. There's 6 seasons of this. So we're going to try to get through it as quick as possible because October is upon us. And I definitely want to talk about one of my favorite other shows, The Game.
Not my gamer tag, THAGAME.
The Game. One of the funniest comedies of the 2000s
that died. It's raining.
It died. And the replays on BET, that's one of the good things that BET did from that time of them not having music videos anymore. They played so many replays that they got the audience to petition to bring it back. And they brought it back and they ended it. And then they petitioned again. And it's back on Paramount Plus. I guess they're going to petition again to bring it back because we ain't heard about a season 2 yet. Or 15 or 6, whatever season they're in. I think they've restarted the season, so now it's going to be a season 2. But We're going to get into that. And then week two. And then whatever else in culture and entertainment that we can find throughout the week. So, no, this isn't Perfect Plex Talk Radio. You can catch that every Monday, 6 p.m. with your boys. This is sports, culture, entertainment, and everything under the sun that I can think of for an hour and a half. My name is the Almighty Zia Silent. That is Mr. Mike Knox. We are the alphas and omegas of everything that you need to know. We will catch y'all next Thursday, 6 p.m. Until then, to the Empire!
To the Empire! Peace, y'all.
Oh, God.